Hello, Matthew Arnold, and welcome to Upcoming Disc. How you doing?
Hello, Gino. Good to talk to you.
So, how you doing today?
I'm great. I'm sitting in Canada in a car in negative 29 degree weather working on my new TV show.
Wow. Well, I'm sitting in Florida in 80 degree weather, talking to you.
No, I hate you instantly, Gino.
I'm sorry. Actually, it's not 80. It's more like 70 today. Anyway, I got to
I'm
see.
dreaming of that. I'm going to have to visit Florida when I'm done here and warm up.
Well, you know what? You come to Florida, you check us out, and we'll give you a tour around.
Sounds great. I'd love to do that.
Well, listen, I got to watch Shadow People last night. Very interesting, very unique and clever film, if I do say so myself.
Thank you.
I guess the first question I have to ask you is this: the sleep syndrome. Let me see if I is it. Boy, I wrote this down. It's like a weird title here. This sleep syndrome thing here.
I'll tell you what it is. Sudden unexplained nocturnal death syndrome.
Nocturnal death. Yeah, there it is. Boy, I'll tell you, that's a mouthful. Now, this is a real syndrome, right?
It is.
So,
It is, and you can look it up on the CDC website, and you can read their reports. And what's interesting in their reports is you'll find that.
It reminds me, it's kind of the way voodoo appears to be to work as well. I've
Yes.
heard many times
Yes.
that it's the belief of the person who's got the curse that makes it happen. You know, the subject matter itself is very fascinating. I was actually familiar with Dr. Hufford's old hag phenomenon, which you also incorporate into the film, including some footage of Dr. Hufford himself. And
Yes.
I'm curious as to how you ended up combining those two kind of mythological things together. Because in Hufford's book, that the stuff that I had read, they weren't as malevolent. They were more people weren't killed. They were just terrified.
Southeast Asian cultures that believe in them all have this idea that the hyped to that as well, with some of those East Asian beliefs especially, but also in other cultures where they have an experience of sleep paralysis and what it means. So it's fascinating to think that your mind really can play such a powerful and potent role that not only can scare you, but can, in fact, totally turn against you.
Sure.
If you're not careful. You know?
Now, another message I seem to get from the film, and you can tell me how accurate I am here, but I seem to get a message almost from Charlie Crow's opening monologue and then the tie-up at the end, this idea, maybe making a statement about us becoming such a worldwide internet society and how the internet's affected our culture and how information's disseminated and that sort of thing. It seems like you have a strong message there. Am I correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, definitely... One idea is about the mind and the brain. It's also about how we move information around the globe so quickly. One of the ways that people were somewhat protected from this kind of a thought disease, if you want to call it that, mm-hmm. is that in a small culture it would happen through word of mouth, and that would be the extent of it. But now we have the ability to say something and put it out into the channels of the internet and out into the news media and get something, a message all over the world simultaneously that everybody can hear and understand. We can affect a huge mass of the population with a message. And the danger part, a double-edged sword the movie tries to make is, what if that message is dangerous and deadly, and we're sending it to everyone at once? We need to be careful what we put out there. And the movie, in some ways, is a warning. You know, there's a lot of great concepts now in the world about, you know, using your mind to better yourself and be a stronger person and, you know, a lot of that stuff like The Secret and a lot of those conceptual ideas. But the opposite is also true, that what you put in your mind can be deadly and dangerous to a lot of people. So I wanted to make that point, that we do have a different kind of a world right now. And in the world of shadow people, it's a much more dangerous world, because not only do they operate in different frequency ranges, now we're filled with the world full of microwaves and radios and transmissions that would allow them to transmit and move through our world, if you want to go with the entity concept of them. But also, if you want to stick with more of a scientific brain idea of them, you also have the same kind of conclusion and the same kind of a more dangerous place for that.
Well, you know, and it reminded me of a ghost story I read when I was a kid. I don't remember the author or the name. It was a little short story, and I'm wondering if we had a common form of reference. It was about a TV host who was going to spend the night in a supposedly haunted hotel or a haunted house, and he was broadcasting live, and the you know, end thing was that there wasn't a ghost, but all the audience believing in it made it alive. And I'm wondering if we had that same reference. I wish I could remember the author and the name. It was in a collection of ghost stories that I read when I was a really young kid, and it reminded me of that, so you brought back a young memory for me.
That's great. I got to be honest, I have not seen that or heard that, but I'd love to know what it is. Because obviously you can tell that's up my alley.
Yeah, I'm going to look for that story. If I do, I'll try to find a way to get a hold of you and let you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, and you know, a radio broadcaster is an interesting kind of figure. These people who you know, work late at night and are out there speaking, and they're out spreading a message of some kind out to the world, they kind of have this forum that they can reach all these people at once. They have a forum to expose and expound on whatever they want. So in that case, when it was Charlie Crow's life, he was unfortunately doing more harm than good, even thinking that he was doing good things.
Right.
And I think that's what made that such an interesting story to wrap around.
Absolutely. And getting to the style of film, now here's something I definitely want to ask you about. The style of the film is a bit unusual in that you've got the section of the film that plays out very much like a traditional film, but then you interweave some of it seems real, and some of it obviously is faux, but I mean this documentary material sometimes at the same time on the screen. Were you worried at all about the, you know, about the flow of the film being affected by this style? Or
yeah, I mean, I think I was at the outset. I was thinking at the outset to just do a purely, you know, narrative film and just take the viewer on a ride. But I had so much facts and so much real documentary evidence and documentary pieces and news stuff that I thought, my God, I've got all these great pieces of stuff, and I'm going to recreate them. Why would I do such a thing when I've got the real thing? And I wanted people to recognize
Yeah, people will.
And I think that'll have a second feeling about the movie or a second experience once they get home and start researching it and reading it for themselves. And I think that the documentary stuff we put in there, showing some of the real people, helped to cauterize that concept and just to get them also moving forward into thinking about the movie outside of the life of just that 90 yeah. minutes of watching it.
Well, Dallas Roberts is certainly one of your biggest assets in this film because he does a pretty marvelous job of showing Charlie, first a very cynical, out-for-the-ratings kind of guy who slowly starts to buy into this, and then when the fear comes in. I mean, he goes through a wide range in this movie, a big evolution of character. Was this film done linearly, or did he have to, like, remember where he was in this descent throughout the film?
He had to remember where he was. Dallas is an absolute thing actor. He's so well trained, and he's so able to put himself in any emotional state. It was just like, it was the easiest directing of an actor I've ever done because I didn't need to do that much. He was really
right
there all the time, and I could tell him where we were in the script, and he knew at what place to be. And you know, we were clear that we really wanted to see the spiral down, and we wanted to watch him fall down to the bottom and to hit all those points and not jump too far ahead or too far behind. So he was there, and he really committed to it, and in a really big way, you know. And I think that's a testament to him as an actor. He's so amazingly authentic in what he does. And I think also that authenticity is what made him so believable. Like, you wanted to follow this guy because you knew he was real.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't feel like a cookie-cutter character who's always doing the right thing at every moment.
Right.
He's doing things that are somewhat of questionable morality, and it makes him like a flawed human being. And I think as human beings, we are flawed. And I think we identify better with somebody who is flawed, like Charlie. And we say, gosh, you know, we're all imperfect, and we're like this guy, and look what's happening to him. He's trying to do something and not watch his life like spin out of control, even though he might be trying to hold it back together. So I really liked Dallas's portrayal. I thought he just did an amazing job, and thank you for noticing that. He really impressed me. I was so pleased to work with him.
Well, and the other thing is, I got to wonder, this guy must have really had quite, with extra takes and stuff, this guy must have had quite a nicotine buzz with how much smoking he had to do.
He did. He did a lot of smoking. Poor Dallas. I put him through a lot of cigarettes. Yeah, that's definitely true. And a lot of coffee, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think it was essential, though, because it really showed kind of that hard living and sort of a man trying to cope with what's going on through external means, you know, drinking coffee,
sure,
getting a buzz off a cigarette, or how do I stay up all night because I'm so scared what's going to happen to me if I go to sleep.
Well, and I'll bet you that Dallas himself probably had trouble going to sleep at night with all that in him by the time it was done.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
Well, and you also...
But it's funny, a lot of people that worked on the show, in the crew themselves, were having experiences. They really did report back to me that they were feeling on edge, or they were seeing things in the corner of their eye, and they were starting to report that they
sure
were experiencing it. And, yeah, that's what happens.
I can imagine. You also have Clint Eastwood's daughter in the cast as the CDC professor or doctor.
Yes, yeah, Allison Eastwood.
So how did you get together the chemistry between the two of them? Because that's kind of important at the end, is they're kind of going in almost a Mulder and Scully direction at some point.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think that's actually a good analogy. Well, you know, I wanted a smart doctor character, and there's a danger when you have the female doctor that she turns into like the bimbo with a lab coat, and
right,
I really didn't want that. Allison's a really smart woman, and she is able to be authentic and be a real, you know, be as scientific as she can be in those scenes, and I think it makes the case really strong for her viewpoint. And I think when two people are really involved in the subject, even if they're coming from it from two different points of view,
right,
you do build a chemistry, because
mm-hmm
two people are both committed to their point of view, and the disagreement is kind of what builds that chemistry. So, and so I didn't want to build a love story of any kind.
Mm-hmm.
There is some kind of a tension and chemistry between the two of them, almost like a relationship,
right,
without stating it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and And you know what? And that's the obvious thing that happens anyway. I think that it was refreshing that they didn't just fall in each other's arms at any point and just ruin what the message you're trying to get through for each character is.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was the challenge. And I wanted to make sure that I was trying to be as authentic as we could about it all.
Well, I know we're running out of time, but I will have to say that I think that this is certainly going to cause a lot of people to look into the real syndromes, and I think Dr. Huffert might see some sales of his book coming up out of this. He should give you a commission.
Well, I hope he sees some sales of the book. It's an important book and really well written, and he's a great pioneer in trying to explain this kind of stuff. So I hope people will go buy the book and learn more about it.
Well, the last question I have to ask you is, have you ever experienced shadow people?
I have, and that's what actually led me to it, was the first story. My first experience was what led me to it, and the experience that Charlie has at the end of the story is sort of what I experienced myself, waking up one night, seeing something above me, and bursting up out of the bed and yelling at it and it disappearing. That's what happened to me.
Wow.
I had known it pretty well.
Well, and I guess it shows in the material. So is there more on this subject coming, or are you done?
I think there's definitely a place for sequel. There's a lot of the story to tell. I didn't think I had enough time to tell as much as I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how we do with this, because I think there is a place. I'm already cooking up ideas about how to approach it as actually more of a prequel concept. But
good.
More on that later.
Well, good. You can examine more of what's going on in that 16-millimeter film that they found.
Exactly. That would be the basis for it, yep.
Well, I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to seeing more from you, and I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us today and try to keep warm up there.
I will. Thanks a lot.
All right, you take care. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.